This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm coming at you from Flag Is Up Farm in Solvang, California. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 1st. Oh, it's August. Episode 1484, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Hi, I'm Monty Roberts. Welcome to Flag Is Up Farms. The entire property is dedicated to education, both equine and human. And we have students every year from all over the world. A global collection of interns and students study and work here.
Including Jamie this week.
2 weeks. My life is amazing. I can't believe it. And that's really cool that you found that. Is that just from their website, I guess?
Yeah.
But man, I'm so excited to be here. You know, I got smarter this time and I came on Saturday as opposed to Sunday so I could actually wake up this morning and be conscious because my gosh, that's a long drive.
Yeah, I want to hear more about your drive. You posted in there that something happened. So we'll find out about that
a
little bit later.
No, it was amazing. It was perfect. Everything's great.
No, nobody drives through Los Angeles traffic and says it's amazing when they're hauling a 40-foot trailer.
Yeah.
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 No.
Okay. That good enough.
Let's go to Jennifer right away, then we'll get on with the show. But let's go to Jennifer real quick and find out what's coming up.
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, once Debbie Laux gives us her lowdown on what Jamie's learning schedule is going to be like at Flag Is Up Farm this week.
Yeah, I want to head on too.
Yeah, we're going to head on over to the UK and we're going to chat with Nick White, who has been working with the World Horse Welfare Organization on helping law enforcement officers do a better job of capturing and keeping safe loose horses. Who doesn't need that? And then Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation and Jenny from Eventing Nation are both going to stop by and give us the latest on the Olympics, which are just about ready to start. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
It's been so cool. I've been seeing all the pictures. I don't know if you've been following Boyd Martin's pictures, but I've been seeing all the pictures of him arriving, and he's been posting tons of pictures of him in his outfit and his name on the wall. And so that
if there's one part of my day, it is not... is not minding looking at pictures of Boyd Martin. I do not mind at all.
Looks like the cafeteria was at least set up. There were pictures of them eating something in the cafeteria. So at least the cafeteria was set up, but they're down there.
I'm just doing my due diligence, Glenn. Doing my homework.
The horses have arrived or started arriving. So the event horses, anyway, are landing there in Brazil. So we'll get more about that. Jenny should have the lowdown for us. Of course, eventing is the first of the competitions, the horse competitions to start. Before we do get started with the show today, we have to give our thoughts and prayers to Liz Holiday Sharp, who is host of the Eventing Radio Show here on the Horse Radio Network. She lost her 4-star horse, Cooley, over the weekend, was euthanized. Over the weekend at a show in Northumberland, England. It was a 3-star cross country, and apparently the horse suffered a fracture. This was her real partner. This is the one that she took and came over and spent the summer here in Ocala and then took to Rolex. So that was her Rolex horse, and she really had high hopes for this being her 4-star horse. She's had lots of horses in training, but she had hopes that this was the one that was going to take her places. Apparently Liz is okay. She's in the hospital. She got broken up a little bit too, but she'll be okay. But we give her our best, and of course she's one of the family here at the Horse Radio Network. So our thoughts
Cooley
and prayers
is her horse, and yeah. Oh my gosh, just this beautiful creature.
Great,
so
yeah.
Oh, we are just heartbroken for you, Liz.
Yep, but we're thinking about you. I have to switch gears from that to this.
Happy birthday to you.
Do you know whose birthday it is, Jamie?
I don't.
It's ours. It's the Horse Radio Network's birthday this week.
How exciting. August, how old are we?
We're 8 years old, going to be nine. We're in our ninth year, starting on Friday. We did our first episode of Stable Scoop on August 8th of 2008. So that officially, that was our first episode, went out that day. It was basically Helena and I saying, hey, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know how we're doing it. We don't think anybody's listening, but we're here. that was all those years ago. We're doing a special episode over on Stable Scoop this week to honor it, and we're switching gears a little bit. We're having one of our auditors, Rachel Rosenthal, is coming on, and she's going to ask us questions in the year of the listener. So we have a listener asking us questions tomorrow. She's been soliciting questions. I see some of them are kind of interesting. But if you would like to be on our show, be on the Stable Scoop show this week, you can call in a happy birthday to the Horse Radio Network and all the hosts and sponsors and everybody. Just give us a call at our voicemail line at 859-474-0261. But we need them by the end of the day today. Or you can just send us a voice or a sound file from your phone. If you record it on your phone, hey, get clever, sing a song. We don't care. Just a simple happy birthday. We'll put them all together and put them out on the Stable Scoop show. So thank you to all of you who have been listening. We have a few, Rhonda specifically, who's been listening for 9 years and never missed an episode. So we appreciate all of you who've been listening that length of time, or any length of time. 10 minutes. 10 minutes is okay too.
Oh, my dear sweet lady, I am so excited. American Cleopatra had a race yesterday, which I was unbelievably lucky enough to sit in the kitchen of Monty Roberts and his daughter and wife and watch this race with them. And I also got to watch the Haskell, which was Nyquist was running against Exaggerator. It was like the rematch of the century. Nyquist, Exaggerator, the 1970 Haskell. I'm not going to give my daily Winnie to Nyquist, and here's why. Go ahead.
And away they go. She's My First was out quickly from the inside gate, but War Factor, American Cleopatra quicker, and those two go on to lead. Sandy Surprise is in the fourth spot on the far side, Tiki Bar Logic. Then we come back to Union Strike, five off the leaders. Jeweled is back second last at this stage, and Cautious Dreams is last. Into the turn they go, War Factor at the rail, American Cleopatra right up alongside. Sandy Surprise in third on the far side, Tiki Bar Logic. At the rail, She's My First now losing grounds, drop five off them. Union Strike alongside of that, and Jewel still has five to make up. They come past the quarter pole now, and it's American Cleopatra taking the lead, and American Cleopatra strides away now. American Cleopatra's opened up to lead by five with an eighth to go. Along the inside, Union Strike is trying to run on late, but it's American Cleopatra clear as they come down to the wire. A good debut by American Cleopatra under Stuart Elliott. They win it by about two in the end. Union Strike second, Sandy Surprise third.
Now, you played the wrong one because I wanted you to play Nyquist's race, but that's okay. American Cleopatra, for those who don't know, is the
I thought you said you didn't want me to play that one.
No, I said I wasn't going to give my daily Winnie to Nyquist, and this is why. And then you'll play the race and he'll
because
lose.
I thought you were giving it to American Cleopatra. That's
well,
what I thought.
Let me tell everybody who American Cleopatra is. Sorry. She's the full sister. That's okay. I thought I was clear. Cool. She's the full sister to American Pharoah. Full sister. And that was her first race. And I think it was only 6 furlongs. And she came out and she was accelerating by the end of the race. You know, when you see horses gallop, they're reaching forward and pulling down, reaching forward and pulling down. She actually was like, it would be like the difference between a trot and a passage. She was lifting and pulling and lifting and pulling. It was like every stride was a jump, a bound. She just had this amazing stride. It was so awesome to watch. So if you haven't seen it, make sure you go check it out and you'll see the way she's galloping and just So much potential. She's so amazing.
I think Debbie was there. Watch that, wasn't she? Did I see pictures of her there?
No, she was there on Saturday. So okay. this race was at Del Mar, and then the Haskell took place at Monmouth Park in New Jersey. And again, the Haskell, here's what's cool, is I'm sitting with Monty Roberts, and he actually won the Haskell in 1970 with a horse named Gladwin. How awesome is that? So he won the race. We were talking about it while he's given stories. You know, he's the best stories. So do you want to hear what happened?
Yeah, here we go. Sorry, I get the right one this time.
All right.
Right here, it's the Betfair.com Haskell live on TVG.
And they're off in the Betfair.com Haskell Invitational to a very smooth beginning. And Nyquist goes right to the front. Gunrunner is showing speed and Awesome Slew in between them. American Freedom, four of them across the track into the first turn. Sunny Ridge is in fifth, and Exaggerator, the distant trailer. Around the first turn, Nyquist a bit off the rail, leads by a half length. American Freedom will keep him honest in second, and Awesome Slew just behind them third. Florent Giroux settles Gunrunner into a nice stride fourth, four lengths off the leaders. Sunny Ridge is a length behind him, and it's another seven. Back to Exaggerator.
Devin, back.
A very quick,
very wet track
mile for Nyquist and American Freedom. American Freedom puts his nose in front, heading down the back stretch. Awesome Slew is in third. Gunrunner inching up a closer fourth. American Freedom has now put three quarters of a length on Nyquist. Exaggerator's going for an early run. He's already within four lengths of the lead past the half mile pole. And Sunny Ridge is the trailer. Nyquist coming back for more on the inside of American Freedom. Gunrunner has made steady progress. He's three wide and a half length back in third. Exaggerator advancing in fourth. He'll be caught wide. Awesome Slew has dropped back. And then it's Sunny Ridge. American Freedom and Nyquist are head and head. Exaggerator four wide. Inside of him, Gunrunner, they're at the top of the stretch. Nyquist is now asked to run. American Freedom has been with him every step of the way. And Exaggerator, the Betfair.com Haskell has turned into a thriller. And Exaggerator has gone right on by. A tremendous performance from Exaggerator under Kent DeSormo to win it by two. American Freedom was second. Sunny Ridge, the New Jersey bred, with a great performance in front of
So Nyquist was fourth?
Nyquist ended up fourth, but Exaggerator, my gosh, that horse just keeps getting better. Just better and better and better. He was way behind. And, you know, we're all in the kitchen like, it's out, he's out. I'm like, no, I think he comes from behind. I think this is kind of his deal. And, of course, he was wide again and made up all that ground. And, like I said, he just keeps getting better and better and better. Now, the jockey of Gunrunner did lodge a complaint because Kent was coming up on the outside, and once he passed him, he cut left real sharp and ran off in front of him. And so Gunrunner's jockey lodged a complaint, was like, he does this every time. He always does it. He cuts right in front of you, you know? And then they went to Kent DeSormo and he goes, yeah, I'll do it every time, because I'm trying to win. He goes, this is $1 million race. It's just really funny to hear like two little teeny men arguing back and forth. It was great.
You can't do that.
You can't. Hey, you get over here. No, you mini elf, you get over here.
That's funny. Well, we're going to, I think we have Debbie coming up, right?
We do.
All right. While you're getting Debbie situated there, I just did want to mention, we have a busy couple of weeks coming up here on the Horses in the Morning show. Jamie, of course, is at Monty's. We're going to find out a little bit more about that. We have the Olympics starting this week. We have Ada. We're going to be at Ada the end of next week. And then the Mongol Derby starts August 4th. So we'll be following and keeping you up to date. That runs about 10 days. So we'll be following and keeping you up to date. We'll kind of later in the week, we'll have a list of the riders and what countries and tell you a little bit about them. So we'll also follow them. Everything happens, always happens this way all at the same time. One other thing before we get to Debbie is that Kentucky is officially out for the WEG. The state of Kentucky and the Kentucky Horse Park put out a press release that said, we don't have time to get this together. There's no way we can do this in 2 years, so we're out. So it will not happen in Kentucky, if it happens at all. All right. Is she ready? I guess not.
I don't think so.
Hey, we're here. We're ready.
Good morning.
Good morning, Debbie. Of course, Debbie Laux, host of the Horsemanship Radio Show. Hi, Debbie.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good. She said you look good and sound chipper. And she was really pissed
about
the...
Well, it's only Monday.
She was really pissed about the looking good part at this hour of the morning.
Yeah, she's just talking. No, it's Monday. I'm so excited to have her here. So fun you lent her out.
Yes, we let her leave the farm occasionally to go out and do things.
Occasionally. She got away. She got away. Right. What it was.
I heard you. You have seemed, before we get on with talking, we let you two talk, you seem to have a fun day at the races on Saturday. You got your picture taken with some pretty important people.
The greeter at Del Mar. That was the first one.
But then a certain owner of a certain horse or ex-owner of a certain horse.
Certain former owner.
Former. Yes.
She sends a picture and she goes, look who I met. And yeah, that's Steve Coburn. And he's still wearing purple.
And he's still in the purple. Yeah. Still trying.
He's still trying.
In the purple. Yeah, he was standing right at the gate of Del Mar. It was really funny. I walk in there like, I know that guy.
He was the more outspoken, controversial owner of American Pharoah.
California Chrome.
California Chrome. I'm sorry. Yep.
California Chrome. Yeah, he wishes.
Yeah.
Well, actually.
Sorry about that.
He's the one who said, there is never going to be a Triple Crown winner so long as I live because he just can't do it. And then next year. And I remember the announcers going, I wonder if Steve Coburn's okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. That was
he nice?
Oh, yeah. No, he was great. He was like the Walmart greeter, and we even got to take photos with, you know, it was kind of like that. It was very nice.
Well,
very nice.
His 15 minutes of fame are over. Now he's greeting people at the track. Come on in. Take a picture with me.
I don't know how it felt, but
did he charge you $10?
He was not pissed off that day. So he was really nice. He's just when he's pissed off, it's not good.
Does he charge $10 for a picture? Like
the, yeah, no, he
no,
didn't charge.
No, okay.
But see, then later we have a trainer, Sean McCarthy, and his wife Kim, and Kim trains or works for Bob Baffert, so it's a great little connection. And Dad was saying, "Gosh, just say hi to Trevor Denman for me," and he's the caller at the track, and he's not just a caller at the track; he's just been forever a caller at just the best races, but you know, Santa Anita and Del Mar for sure. He's just legend. And so there's this trek you have to go on to get all the way to, I think it's like six stories up where Trevor lives and calls the races. So got to make that trek, and that's how I got that photo taken.
Is he the one that starts and away they go?
He's so cool. He's South African. He's from Durban, South Africa. And he's got a great South African accent, but it's just, it works on calling races, doesn't it?
You know what I said? He sounds like the old-fashioned 1930s and 40s callers. He kind of is reminiscent of the old days when you hear the old race calls. He kind of has that sound, that gritty sort of sound. Yeah.
Well, he holds a SAG card, too, you know, because he's been in some of those movies. Yeah, he's got an IMDb and been in some of the movies, too. But I agree with you. A classic. He's got a great sense of humor. He would probably say, oh, that was me, Glenn, you know, 1935. Yeah, no, he's a great guy. He's trying to retire. He lives in Minnesota, believe it or not, southern Minnesota part of the year. And then, you know, Santa Anita and
there's a job for you, Jamie. You could be the first female race caller. Has there ever been one at a track?
Yeah, I hear. You ready? You want a sample?
Yeah.
Okay, and they're on the back, stretched in the really pretty grays in the front, and then there's that number four, and then the buckskin pony horse is trying to catch the six horse who ran off backwards, and then, I don't know, there's some jockey that's, like, whipping his horse, and he should stop whipping his horse. That's enough with the whip coming around the corner, down the stretch they go, and that chestnut is in the front, and then the number two is coming up. How'd I do?
Great.
Beautiful.
Great.
Yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah, remembering the horses' names would be a bit of a problem for you.
Yeah. No, I'm terrible. So, Debbie, just to tell me a little bit about what is going to happen this week. I signed up for this course, and you said it's the best course of the year. It's your favorite one.
I played it up big.
And
it's true.
I'm not 100% sure what's going to happen.
Oh,
paint me a picture.
We haven't told her. It's a great week. It is my favorite week of the year. I always say it's better than Christmas because it's the one time when you just don't know what's going to happen. You really don't know.
Oh, so you don't know either. Okay.
No, cool. I don't know either. But it depends on the horses. So last night, you know, you think, oh, Dad would be a little nervous about which horses they're getting in this week, or he might, you know, he might want to dictate. You know,
he's making plans ahead of time.
Plans, everything. Hey, Dad, what horses do you have? Because Jamie wants me to talk about the horses this week and the course. I don't know.
Either I don't know. They know down there. I don't know.
Just ask Denise. Denise gets the horses. So he literally doesn't really know what's coming at him. He falls into some categories. So you're going to see some non-starters. They've never had a saddle, bridle, and rider on. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see probably lots of issues like head shy.
I brought those.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. She is the course. And you're probably going to see some rescues that we don't know what their issues are, but they need to be made more adoptable and love families more. And so we'll work on some of them. And we've got teachers from we've got Brazil. Miguel Lupiano's here. We've got Denise from Germany. We've got Lina and
did
Gabriel.
You say there's a Brazilian guy named Miguel?
There he is.
This week just got better. Go ahead.
but a lot of girls. Okay. Gabriella from Sweden, and we've got Caroline who just came in from the UK. So you're going to be.
Is Gabriella from Sweden blonde and gorgeous? Because aren't they all?
She was up at the pool yesterday.
Yeah, she was sunbathing at the pool, and I thought, well, I'm not going to the pool.
We're not going to be seeing Jamie in a bikini at the pool this week.
See if I can snap a photo. Yeah, so this week in wrap up really basically is Dad's concepts. You're going to get a basic knowledge of Dad's concepts and how they fold into the world of horsemanship. Then, you know, we're going to actually talk about some celebration points that we've made in the last 25 years or so. And we're going to celebrate for about 5 minutes. And
party. Then
we're not going to spike the ball because we've got a lot of work to do yet. We're going to see some video of some work out there that still needs to be improved and why the timing is not right with some of their concepts. And
she's so nice. And she doesn't throw anybody under the bus. And just, can I just say something
rant?
It's not really a super rant. It's Monty had his night of inspiration on Saturday night. And I guess, but I didn't go to the classroom portion of it, but I guess he was talking about some trainer that might have used some aggressive tactics and said some things promoting violence against children and women. Mm-hmm. And at the round pen portion of it, he and I somehow in front of all those people started talking about it. And I guess he had never mentioned the name to the 35 people that were in the classroom with him. And so there was a dinner afterwards and every single person came up to me and goes, who was he talking about? Who was that he was talking about? I'm like, Clinton Anderson. Oh. I'll sell him out. I don't care. Sorry, carry on. So we're going to talk, watch some videos about that, about kind of what, how to be violent and how not to, to fall into that.
Not to fall into that. Because you know what? A lot of these guys are getting it almost right. They just have that element of violence in there. You need to take that part out. They need to draw a line in the sand in that too.
Well, the video we watched yesterday, and I'm sure we'll talk more about in the classroom, was watching a person that was actually scared to do what he was telling her. And I just thought, that's not fun.
Yeah,
that doesn't seem fun at all. So
we're going to have some fun.
I'm so excited.
This week it's about fun with horses. And the horses are going to have more fun than us.
Glenn, of the three horses I brought, I've got Thor is going to work with the farrier because he's not so happy with that. Zeus is going to get work with the clippers. And the pony needs about 15 different sessions, the Haflinger pony. I didn't realize how bad this pony was. Because I only see him when he's tacked up in my arena and the little girl's riding him. And we've done some remedial stuff there. But I didn't realize, like, I go to get him out of the stall to turn him out. And I put his nose through the halter and he just takes off. And I, like, heel dragging, getting pulled for 50 feet by this pony who's decided it's time to go this way. And then you finally get the halter on quickly and he turns right or turns left. And so it's going to be
so
fun
dangerous.
To...
Oh my gosh. That. Wow.
And he's owned by a 9-year-old and they want to do Pony Club and the mother and Pony Club, the parents can't help. And the mother right. has to do all the tacking, all the leading, all the loading, everything. And I just think with a little bit of respect and a little bit of him just learning to lead, a lot of those other, the loading behaviors and all that will kind of come around mm-hmm. as well. But he also runs away. Hey, or he doesn't stop.
Jennifer, in Pony Club, is one of the games they play dragging the owner, you know, yeah. on the skis? Because that'd be great. Yeah. Because that'd be great.
That's imperative.
They'll win that one.
So that's what you'll see. So I just wanted to let everybody know what we're kind of up against for this week so I can report on how things are going throughout the week and you guys will have a little bit of a clue. And then what time does this start this morning and what time does it end and where do I go and give us the rundown?
First day of school.
Yeah, I know. I got to go get dressed.
It starts about 9. Yeah. We'll be filtering in there about 8:30 for coffee and everything too. And it's fun just to get to know everybody in the class. And then it ends when it ends at the end of the day. We usually say 5, but it depends on if we're in the middle of a horse or what. You can't usually drag dad away if there's still work being done.
Dad, it's midnight. Yeah.
Gotta just go depends home. On the horses. Or if you guys are all falling asleep, you know, at the end of the day, then we'll just go up and watch the deer for a little while and kind of recharge our batteries.
I'm now, Debbie, was Jamie at that bar that everybody goes to the first night she arrived?
She hung out in the saloon all night, I heard.
That's a lie. That's the saloon in their house. We're going to the bar Saturday night, Glenn.
Oh, okay.
The Maverick.
The Maverick. That's what it's called. I couldn't remember the name.
So when I went and adopted Zeus, I have this Facebook page called the NNCC Facebook page, Northern Nevada Correctional Center. And all of us that want to adopt or have adopted kind of joined that page. We made this page and it's just a bunch of people that have the Mustangs. And I made friends online and then met up with these women when I adopted Zeus. And they're actually, they live about 5 hours north of here and they're going to come on Saturday and stay till Monday morning. So I'm super excited to see these total crunchy hippie horse girls that love Mustangs and live in teepees. Seriously. And they're just super fun and they're going to come and they totally requested to go to the Maverick.
That's great. That's great.
So I'm going to, they're going to have to drag me out and hopefully Pat and I will find the nice gentleman we danced with for hours last year. I think he was about 104.
And Debbie, can you please make sure she has an able skiver before she leaves this week?
Oh, of course. That's right, a good point.
Good, because that's vegetarian, right? There's able skivers don't have any meat in them. They're just donuts. So make sure she gets one.
Yeah, that's
good. Gesundheit. Right. What'd you say?
Able skivers. Bless you.
Am I saying it right? Able skiver?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
A little powdered sugar?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oof, they're so good.
Good. Forget the Maverick. He likes the Able.
Yeah, I like the Able Skeevers. Forget the Maverick.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks, Debbie.
It's been so fun. Thank you for having me.
And of course, Debbie can be found at Horsemanship Radio. Go over there and check. You had one of our listeners on this episode. Is the episode out?
Ooh, wait. Are you talking about the Desiree Johnson one? Because
yes.
I listened to it on the way here. And I would like to tell Desiree that for the first time ever, I'm able to wear my smooth stride jeans because it's not as hot here.
I'm taking a photo.
You're wearing your smooth strides? Oh,
yes,
good.
I am. No, I'll give you a good butt shot later. Okay. I'm sitting down.
And now Desiree has quite a history of being a Rolex and an eventer and all that. Do you talk about all that, Debbie?
Yeah, absolutely. I really wanted listeners to know who Desiree was. Not
she
just
starts when
jeans.
She's like 3.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I was born on a cold day in July.
On a horse.
On a horse.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm looking for it. I haven't heard her story yet either. We helped support them with
really
the jeans
really
early
the
on.
Horse.
And Jennifer wears the jeans every time we go out. So
I'll tell you what, I've never, this is going to sound terrible, but I've never listened to podcasts ever. Like I just.
You listen to mine?
And I listen to yours and Mary Kitzmiller's.
Cool. A horse staple.
I know. I love it. So yeah. So it was really good. So make sure you check it out. It's on the Horsemanship Radio. Just go to get the app if you don't have the app. It's on there. It's so easy.
Yep. Very good. Thanks, Debbie.
Bye.
All right.
I don't think I've told Debbie my That Girl Driving adventure either, so I'll have to tell her later.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You'll have to tell us later, too. After our guest, you can tell us all about that. I want to hear what happened. But first, we have to talk about Omega Alpha Equine, and I am assuming there's some Omega Alpha products on the trailer.
Of course. And you know what? I did actually several days before I made that ill-fated trailer drive. I went and started getting the horses on the Equicel Light. It's an amino branch chain amino acids, really, really good for their muscles. And also it's an electrolyte. So basically I was kind of preloading them for the stress of the drive. And I thought, well, you know, their Mustangs are tough enough. And then I got that pony in there, too. And I'm like, he's a draft pony. He's going to be a mess. And I gave them that and they preloaded on it. And after 11 plus hours in the trailer, they got here and are totally fine. And they're healthy and they're happy. And, you know, I worry about things like shipping fever. And just I feel like I started them, over 100% to knock them down to 80%. So I do highly recommend Equicel Light. It's got the amino acids in it, really good for recovery and for their muscles, and then also all the electrolytes. And we did have a question from a listener on how she can actually buy the Omega Alpha products, because I guess, you know, if you don't live right next door to a tack shop that carries them, it can be kind of hard to get. And Casey Berger actually sent me a message and said, oh my gosh, I need some of these products. This is her message. Hey, where do you get your Omega Alpha products? Do you order them online or get them in a local store? For real though, I'm trying to get some Anti-Flam and I can't find anybody that sells it. So Jennifer, help her out.
Well, here you go. If you go to OmegaAlphaEquine.com, there is a store locator button on the homepage right there at the top. You just go in there and put in your zip code. You can choose how many you need to find. And if there aren't any close enough to you, they also have a list of online retailers. And if you do have a local store that you shop at and they do not carry Omega Alpha Equine products, simply ask them, and I would say write down the phone number or print out the contact page and bring it to your local tack store. You can get Omega Alpha Equine products. The tack shop can get them directly from Omega Alpha Equine. They don't have to have a buying contract with one of the large product packaged goods warehouses like so many. A lot of times if they want Fly Spray X, they have to get Fly Spray X from George's Mega Warehouse and they have to order $10,000 worth of stuff from George's Mega Warehouse. Omega Alpha doesn't work that way. They can get them direct. So if you need a product and you have one of those really cool local stores, you can do it that way. So hit up OmegaAlphaEquine.com and click on the store locator.
Easy enough. Thank you, Jennifer. Very and thanks, good. Omega Alpha Equine, for being a constant sponsor.
Well, we're thanking Denise, our new guest booker extraordinaire,
who guest wrangler,
booked
woo-hoo!
Our next guest, and I have to add this person in because they're coming from England. I have to do this via Skype, so you're going to hear the phone call.
Remember, when you call somebody live on the radio, you say, "Hey, good morning, you're live on the air." You got to get that up first.
Let's see here. Let's see how this works. This sometimes works when we're calling England and sometimes not.
Sometimes not. You just never know.
His name is Nick White. We're going to talk to him a little bit about horse welfare in England. And so far it's...
Nick White.
Hello, Nick.
Hello, yes. Nick White speaking.
Hey, this is the Horses in the Morning show. You're on the air. I am Glenn and I'm here with Jamie as well. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, that's great. That's fine. How can I help you?
Well, you know, I was taking a look at the situation you guys have over there, and I think this is what came to our attention. You're working with World Horse Welfare, and tell us a little bit about the area where you are in England, because I think you have an issue that that a lot of other places in the world don't have with the horses and the open grazing and all of that.
Okay, sure. Well, I'll give you a little bit of background. I work for World Horse Welfare, which is probably one of the largest charities in the UK. We've been helping horses since 1927. We rescue, we rehabilitate, and then we rehome. basically, I work for the London area. I work Hertfordshire and most of the home counties. And my brief is to investigate allegations of equine suffering and try to resolve instances of suffering by offering realistic solutions and advice to horse owners. So basically, I'm here to offer advice and support. There are some instances, of course, where you can't offer advice, but in instances of deliberate or ongoing or repeated cases of neglect or cruelty, we will support another organization in a prosecution. But that really is a last resort for us.
Tell us about
Hertfordshire. Yeah, Hertfordshire is a huge area. It has a lot of horses. And we did have a huge problem with horses that were on the road. Now, obviously, it's illegal for a horse to be on a road. And it's very dangerous. Horses that are on the road are often very frightened. They will revert to their flight instinct. And, of course, they can damage themselves. And they can hurt members of the public and cause road traffic accidents.
Well, now, are these horses, I'm assuming, see, we think about horses on the road. We're thinking with riders on them. But you're talking about loose horses here.
We're talking about loose horses that have been fly grazing. And when we say fly grazing in this country, they're grazing illegally on land not belonging to the owners. Very often it's not well fenced, and these horses get out onto the road. And then, of course, it falls to the police, once the horses are on the road, to catch these horses and get them into a place of safety.
Okay, so let me stop you there, because that's, again, we have listeners all over the world, most of them in the United States here. So fly grazing is not something that I'd ever hear about here. So why are people doing that? What's the story behind it?
Well, I'm not sure what the story behind fly grazing is, but it's been going on for a long, long time. And land that is not being used, possibly local authority land, awaiting sort of planning permission, or even land that appears not to be used, there are certain parts of the community that will put their horses on there, and they will graze them on there for as long as they can. Well, very often these fields are not well fenced, and that's the problem. These horses then get out onto the road. Mm. And that was the start of my being asked by Hertfordshire Police to help them with a procedure to deal with that. And the reason my background on that was because I was a Metropolitan Police officer in the Mounted Branch, and we had a procedure called the Greenyard Procedure. Now, this procedure dealt specifically with horses straying on the roads, and Hertfordshire Police asked me to go along and help them advise on that situation, which I did.
Now, can I jump in here, Glenn?
Yeah.
So I was in Spain, and when we were riding the fields in Spain, there was horses that were fly grazing. And I said to the person in charge, I said, why are those horses there? He goes, oh, they're fly grazing. That means they've been kind of illegally dropped off here to graze. They have owners. The owners are just kind of, it's basically like stealing grass. And I said, well, what? Who does that? And I don't know, because it seems like you're avoiding the word. I don't know if it's a bad word, but he told me that it was gypsies.
Well, the traveling community, it wouldn't just be the traveling community. We don't always know who the owners of these horses are, and very often they don't come forward. And of course, horses that are fly grazing have been a huge problem in this country, so much so that there became a Control of Horses Wales Act. In other words, Wales started off the Control of Horses Act. We have followed on by having a Control of Horses England Act, which started in 2015. It is very effective. I've used it a number of times. And basically what it means is that if horses are fly grazing on land belonging to another, whether it be local authority land or private land, that landowner can detain those horses. They must abide by certain criteria, and the first criteria is they must let a police officer in charge of a police station know within 24 hours that those horses have been detained. Now, once they've been detained, they need to be detained for 4 working days. After that, those horses, if they're not claimed, then they become the property of the landowner, and they can be disposed of in several different ways. So the Control of Horses Act has been developed only in 2015, to deal with this specific problem, and it is a huge problem all over this country. I cover the London area, and I can tell you a lot about the London area if you've got time to listen, but I think I've answered that question so far.
So when a person who is fly grazing their horses realizes, uh-oh, I don't see my horses, and they go to the landowner, what is the process that they have to do to get their horses back?
Right. They would need to prove ownership. They would need to claim those horses within 4 working days. After the 4 working days, they become the property of the landowner.
But do they pay a fine? Do they have
No, they wouldn't pay a fine, but they would have to prove that they are the owner of the horses, possibly by the use of a passport or if the horses were microchipped. And they may well come to some arrangement with the landowner. A reasonable person would come to some arrangement and pay any costs that the landowner had incurred. But usually it doesn't work like that. Usually nobody comes forward for these horses. It is very rare that anybody comes forward. And horses that are fly grazing, there's another knock-on effect, because sometimes as a welfare agency for World Horse Welfare, we would go along to see a situation where horses are fly grazing, and maybe one or two horses in there that are in a suffering state. So we would need to remove those horses under the Animal Welfare Act 2006. Once we've removed those horses, obviously we will try and find an owner for them. But it's rare, very rare, for anybody ever to come forward and say, yes, that was my horse. I left it there in that suffering state. So we begin to pick up all these unfortunate horses that are fly grazing.
So people are dumping sick and starving horses in pastures and just leaving them. That is so heartbreaking.
Yes, that is one of the situations. Usually when that's happened, probably the same night, the remainder of the horses will be removed. We know not where. But as I say, again, the big problem is horses that are fly grazing, they tend to get out of their fields because the fences aren't well fenced, or there's not enough to eat, or there's not enough to drink. So they go looking, and that's when they get out onto the roads. And that's when Hertfordshire Police asked me to help them with a green yard procedure.
Now, what's the green yard procedure? What's that? What's the green yard procedure?
The green yard procedure is a procedure where horses found on the road are immediately collected by the police. Efforts are made to trace the owner there and then once the horses are in a safe location. If the owner can't be traced, they are taken to a place of safety where they would remain, slightly different from the Control of Horses Act, where they have to be detained for 4 working days. But when they're on the road, if they're removed under the Highways Act 1980, they would have to be detained for 14 days before they can be disposed of by way of sale or gift or rehoming.
Okay, so basically they have a field that they bring them to, and they can get them some food and drink. And
yes.
You do it much quicker over there. It takes so long over here for horses that are, you know, malnourished or whatever the situation is where they need to be removed from the homes. It takes months and court procedures. And so you guys have streamlined that a bit.
We've got some very good laws in this country now with the Control of Horses Act. And the there are some really old laws which your listeners might be interested in. We've got the Metropolitan Police Act of 1839, goes right the way back there, dealing with horses that are being raced on the roads or being driven or ridden furiously. All sorts of interesting legislation we have. But our most recent legislation, the Animal Welfare Act 2006 and the Control of Horses Act 2015, are very, very effective.
Yeah, it sounds like it, because that is an issue over here. It just takes months and months and months, and you know, the horse, a lot of cases, the horses are dying before animal control can do anything about it.
I know we're running out of time. Real quick, I just want to ask, it's the only question in my brain right now is, these horses that are loose on the roads or loose in the pastures and they're going to be collected, can you just walk up to them with a halter and say, come here, come on, or how? What's the deal there?
No, that's where I come in. The police will call me and I will come along and try and help to catch them. And usually by hook or by crook, we do manage to catch them. But the first thing is, when they're on the road, they must be got to a safe location, i.e. a gateway, and they must be held there and kept quiet there while we try and find an owner for them. If we can't, then we call in a transporter who will remove them to a place of safety.
Are most of them, you know, considering they might be coming from the travelers or wherever, you would assume they would be broke, but most of them are not? Most of them are feral?
Not necessarily feral, but probably very scared. They've been on the road. They don't know where they are.
Yeah.
And once they start to run, they will run anywhere. They'll run through washing lines and they'll run into car parks. Usually, we manage to contain them somewhere and we're able to catch them in that way.
Now,
sure, I'm glad there's people like you out there trying to fix this problem. I know it has been a big problem, and horses are getting hurt, and people are getting hurt, and they're on the road. So this is a wonderful thing that you guys are doing, and I hope they get it under control.
It's done with the support of World Horse Welfare. We are a good charity. We are totally self-funded. We rely on our supporters and members of the public for donations. But this job with Hertfordshire Police and the other police forces services I work for is in addition to that work. My main work is to investigate allegations of equine suffering and try to resolve them. That's my main work. And the additional work I do with Hertfordshire Police is, again, something I do as a result of my previous experience with the Metropolitan Police.
Well, and it's worldhorsewelfare.org is where you can find more information about that. Thank you so much for telling us all about this. Sometimes we're insulated. We don't know what's going on in other parts of the world, and that's why we try and get people on to let us know what is happening.
Well, I've got a fantastic area. It's not just Hertfordshire. I cover the London area, and I make no apology whatsoever for saying that the most diverse and interesting is the London area. It's vibrant with its sights, sounds, and colours. We've got so many horses in London. We've got the world famous ceremonial occasions, all supported by the Royal Mews. We've got the Royal Horse Artillery, the Cavalry, which are the Life Guards and the Blues and Royals. Then we've got the fantastic riding horses, the very smart riding horses you see in Hyde Park and on Rotten Row, and the lovely riding schools and city farms, which do such a great job. We've then got right the way down to the trotters, the trotting horses and the totters that live under the arches, the railway arches. These horses are going out daily, collecting rag and bone and iron. We've still got that in London. And then we've got thousands of horses grazing legally and illegally all around the London flatlands, the docks, the marshes, and around Heathrow Airport. We've got horses on tethers, and we've got horses even chained to the wheels of cars, and we've got horses in back gardens and cages. So anything can happen in the London area, and it usually does.
You need your own TV show. See, over here, that would be a TV show.
Well, it's the truth, and that's the way things are.
WorldHorseWelfare.org. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
All
Thanks
right.
very much.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
Bye-bye.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. It's a whole different world over there.
Oh my gosh, right? I could listen.
World.
That guy needs a podcast. Give him a show.
I know. He really does need his own reality show. We have all those shows over here about the Houston Animal Control and all of those. He needs his own show.
It's just all the horses that are working in London, and people are complaining about the New York cab horses. And it's like, you need to go see what goes on in other countries.
I mean, they have hundreds at the Royal Mews alone. I mean, and half the things he was talking about, I had no idea what he was talking about. So
I hearken back to my Jane Austen books, and I was Elizabeth Bennet was.
Jennifer said too, Hertfordshire, didn't you say that that's one of the most densely populated horse places in the world? There's more horses there than
there's
anywhere
lots
else?
Of horses in Hertfordshire. Yeah. Yes, apparently it's
I believe Hertfordshire is where Miss Bennet met Mr. Darcy. So I mean, it's a great place.
All right, let's take a break for we got to hear a little bit about Uncle Jimmy. I posted a picture of him over the weekend on our Horses in the Morning page. We had a listener had an Uncle Jimmy spotting. He was out doing a mounted shoot, and he looked like a large version of Teddy Roosevelt. and one of the rough riders.
It was really impressive. Really impressive. I might have made some other comments, like he's on this big Palomino, and I said he looks like Wilbur and Mr. Ed, but, you know, whatever.
He kind of did look like Teddy Roosevelt with the glasses and the whole thing. He really did. But let's hear about Uncle Jimmy's, and then we're going to have a song, and we're going to come back with Leslie and Jenny are going to be here from Horse Nation Eventing Nation to talk a little bit about the Olympics coming up the end of the week.
Hello, folks. Uncle Jimmy here, and welcome to the world of Uncle Jimmy brand products, where funny names mean serious products. Featuring Uncle Jimmy Squeezy Buns, the squeezably soft hand treat that your horse will love. The award-winning Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls. Uncle Jimmy's Sugar-Free Ball. The incredible Licky Thing, also in sugar-free. The amazing Uncle Jimmy's Pecker Wrecker, and the Big Licky. The infamous Uncle Jimmy Hanging Ball was first designed by me for my own horses to help reduce the bad habits which come from stall boredom. It now can be found around the world. This nutritious, flavored, filled boredom buster will help keep your horses occupied and happy around the clock. Properly hung, it will last for weeks, provided you don't let your horse pin it, and Uncle Jimmy knows who you are. The ball comes in four flavors: apple, carrot, peppermint, molasses, and now sugar-free. Once again, welcome to the world of Uncle Jimmy's brand products, where funny names mean serious products, and satisfaction is 100% guaranteed.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Clap along if you feel like that's what you wanna do. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air like I don't care, baby, by the way. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you wanna do. Bring me down, can nothing bring me down? Your love is too high, happy, bring me down, happy, can nothing happy, bring me down? I said, bring me down, can nothing bring me down? Your love is too high, happy, bring happy, me down, happy, can nothing happy, bring me down? I said, clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Cause I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Cause I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Cause I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you wanna do.
Right now. only grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you miss it. Lose your love when you say the word mine.
I wanna go to an old hoedown long ago in a western town. Pick me up cause my feet are dragging. Give me a lift and I'll hay your wagon.
Love is a rose but you better not pick it. Only grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you missed it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. You better not pick it. Only grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you missed it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. Mine. Love is a rose. Love is a rose. Love is a rose.
That was Templeton Thompson with Love is a Rose. And while we were doing that, we were also trying to get Jamie back, who is having connection issues. One thing Flag Is Up Farm is not known for is their internet. Are you back?
I the more beautiful the more beautiful the view, the worse the internet.
Yeah, that's right.
How it works.
That's very, very true. Yeah, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, so you're on your phone now?
Yeah, I just gave up. Templeton Thompson should not sound like that. What I was hearing.
Love it.
Love is a rose. Not take it. Like, this is embarrassing.
Well, I'm glad we got you back anyway. All right. So now you had a drive there. What happened in the drive there? Now, how long did it take? What, 8-9 hours?
So the map thing says it's, you know, 8.5-9 hours, and that is a total lie, okay? They don't take into account that you're driving. I mean, you have to, you know, when you go to L.A. and you drive to L.A., L.A. starts an hour and a half before you actually get into L.A. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just the area is so vast. So, yeah, I'm cruising along and you hit Palm Springs with all the windmills and you're going all, you know, on the way in. And it's like all of a sudden, boom, you're in the city. And I did not plan ahead as well as I should have.
Big surprise there.
Yeah, I know. You're shocked. Thanks, jerk. Like, it wasn't stressful enough. I don't need your help. So I basically started to get into the metropolitan area and realized, yeah, I had half a tank of gas. But usually I'll try to fill up before I get there. But I was listening to music. I was listening to podcasts. It's all your fault. And and I just kind of lost track of where I was. And so I had about half a tank. And so I realized that, you know, doing the math on how far Flag Is Up is versus what my little thing says, I'm going to need to stop and get gas. So as I'm heading into LA, I start looking. And the traffic is bad this way, so I reroute. And the traffic is bad this way, and I reroute. I'm going around stuck in traffic at times. To say it was stressful is doing a disservice to just how stressful it was. Like, I mean, like, sickening stomach hurts kind of stress of the traffic and the fact that my gas needle is dwindling. And I have 3 horses and a dog, and I'm on the busy LA freeways. Now, I mean, it wasn't like I was desperate, and so I wasn't freaking too bad. I thought, I'll find something. But when you have a horse trailer of that size and a truck that size, and you're in a city, the gas pumps, you can't just pull into a gas pump. You can't just whip around and drive through.
And it seems like for some reason in cities, they do not have the big gas stations like we do. Like big Sheetses or the big Kangaroos where there's 85 pumps and lots of room. They have two pumps and it's at this gas station that's been there for 150 years.
Yeah, yeah. And there's no space anywhere. Everything is so crammed. Even in the supermarkets, the aisles are really close together. It's like they try to cram as much into a small space as possible. And that does not work when you have a giant 3-horse trailer with living quarters and a dually truck. Like the dually truck would have been hard, not to mention the trailer. So I keep kind of heading north and trying to find a little more off the main road areas, but I did the best I could. And at one point I was like, I got down to like 30 miles on my gas thing.
Oh,
and geez. I've been looking for 2 hours for gas and I'm 30 miles in with a trailer.
You're really trusting that thing's accurate too.
I know. Well, that's the thing, is it's not accurate when you're pulling something. That's like probably what would happen with, without the trailer.
Right.
So I, at this point I'm nauseous. And so I go by the 101 things that suck about diesels is you can't find a diesel pump in the city either, because no other idiot has a diesel truck going through the city. So at one point I'm sweating telling you this story because it was so awful. So I find a place that sells diesel in the distance, and I exit off, and it's like a loop to the right and then a hard right to get into the gas station. Then you have to make a left to get to the pump. And this is the only diesel I've seen. And there's no way I couldn't even make the right to make the right turn to get to the gas station. I hit the curb and ran up on the curb with all my tires.
Oh no.
And I'm by myself and I'm freaking out and I have all these animals in the car and I don't know what to do. And there was like a Dollar General across. So I just pulled into the Dollar General and I was like, okay, what am I going to do? The gas station's across the busy road and I'm on this side and I can't get over there. And it hit me, Glenn, like a lightning bolt of genius. I'm going to buy a gas tank and just walk back and forth across the road and fill up my diesel truck with gas. I'll get one of those big 5-gallon ones, and I'll only have to do it a couple times. So I'm like, I'm brilliant. I may never get out of this Dollar General parking lot, but at least I'll have gas trying, So I go across the street and the guy, doesn't speak English. I'm like, gas tank. And he points in the back. I walked to the back and all they had was 1-gallon tanks.
Yeah.
One
the Dollar
gallon.
General. Yeah.
No, yeah. This is the gas station. The Dollar General wasn't even open. So, well, at least the parking lot was empty. So I get, I run my credit card because I don't know how much. I run my credit card, swipe the card, fill up the pump. This is supposed to be one of those no-spill gas pumps, which means either you can't get the gas out or it dumps all over you. We went with the latter. So I get dumped. Gasoline dumped all over me. And in that first gallon, I probably got 1/2 gallon into the tank. And then, like Frogger, I tried to cross the street again with this gas tank covered in diesel fuel. And do you know how homeless you look when you are at the gas station covered in fuel trying to pump another thing? So I get number 2. I go over there. I get number 3. Boom. I get number 4. I get number 5. It's like 90-something degrees. I'm covered in diesel fuel. The horses at least are enjoying a break. I've opened their windows. Then he's sitting in the car. I leave the car running because I had to get the air conditioning on for her. And I go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth to where I start the car and it says I have 70 miles. So I'm like, yes! I can at least get somewhere. I can get the flag is up. I can get to the exit for the farm. Well, that ended up being a lie. I got close, though, but I did have to stop again. But I get in my car, and I sit down, and I am drenched in diesel fuel. I am sweating
It's lucky you didn't spontaneously combust.
Right? Thank God diesel fuel's not as flammable as the gas. Because if it was gasoline, I'd be dead. Just somebody would have flicked a cigarette butt out their window and I would have been torched. And so, it was the most stressful thing ever. And I will never, lesson learned, not stop in Palm Springs and fill up my dang truck again, even though I had half a tank. Oh, my God. So is that girl enough for you?
Yeah, that's pretty that girl. Yeah, that qualifies.
Pretty much.
I show up here and Denise is like, hey, I'm like, don't hug me. Just don't. Like, I need a shower. She unloaded the horses and I went and took a shower. My heart is palpitating retelling this story. That was so terrifying and awful. Okay, so be better prepared next time. Plan ahead. My Girl Scout lessons are coming. I should have stuck around the Girl Scouts because I would have been more prepared.
Maybe keep that tank of that tank of fuel in the back too, just in case.
Oh no! That wasn't.
No, don't do that.
Not work, Glenn, because then she's going to know it's there.
Yeah, that's right.
That doesn't work.
I tell you what. Anytime I travel now, there will be 2 5-gallon diesel tanks full. I can't roll like that again. That was awful. My hair is like hanging halfway out of the ponytail. My glasses broke because they fell on the ground.
Oh, no.
I'm pouring the fuel in. It's running down the side of the truck. There's a puddle underneath. It was just as... And you know what? All these jerks in L.A., not one person looked at me and goes, do you need some help?
That almost... You know, that really almost sounded like a Leslie Wiley kind of thing to do.
Oh, jeez. So I got here...
That sounds like something Leslie would do. Run out of gas in the middle of L.A. with a 40-foot trailer and trying 1 gallon at a time, running across the highway to get gas.
Mm-hmm. She would never. She would have been able to whip that trailer through there, no problem, I bet.
Leslie, how are you?
What a nightmare.
Hey, Glenn. Leslie, I am so happy to hear your voice. I'm going to let you guys talk. I'm standing on a telephone in an office, and I feel like
you're coming in and out too. So we'll let you go. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. Have a good day at Monty's place.
Thank you. Bye, Leslie.
Bye. So, Leslie, how are you? Of course, from Horse Nation.
I'm super. How are you guys?
Good. Now, Jenny was supposed to join us, but something happened here, are we not adding her in at this point?
Not at this point, okay. Yeah. We just got some very sad news that Hannah Francis, who's the 18-year-old, she's been battling for the last about year and a half a pretty aggressive form of bone cancer called pheosarcoma. And has just really taken on the world, been publicly, you know, chronicling her journey on social media and, you know, just inspiring people around the world with her bravery and has raised just a lot of money for cancer research, and charities. And so, it sounds like she's just passed away. So that's really sad. Really sad for all of us.
I know really, you had done a number of articles and stories on her, right?
We have, yeah, yeah. It's just amazing the sort of neat things that have come up out of her battle. Wilbury Wonder Pony, you may have heard of him. He's another celebrity stuffed animal. and he's made the rounds. He Ben Hopday, who's the British inventor, who is another cancer survivor, strapped this little stuffed animal on his back and rode around badminton with him this spring. And which was really, really neat. And there was a inspired by Hannah hashtag a movement earlier this summer with a lot of top riders posting photos to social media with that hashtag. And it's taken away, obviously, much too young, but what an incredible young woman she was. And I'm sure her legacy will continue living on.
Our best to all of her family and friends around the world, because she truly did have friends around the world.
Right, absolutely.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by here and joining us. We're thinking Olympics this week, and I know Jenny, if she was here, would be talking Olympics with us, because she is heading out on Wednesday, right, to cover it down there for Eventing Nation.
Yes, she is heading into the belly of the beast.
And she's probably, well, she seemed to be in, on Facebook posting that she was all excited about it. And are you as excited not to be going?
I got my flu last year.
She went down for the test events and came back with some harrowing stories. Now, hopefully things will be a little better this time,
I think so. I think that, there's probably been no better time for a trip to Rio than right now. I think the city's going to be on lockdown. They've obviously, invested incredible amounts of money in infrastructure. I think there's something we said just for, there's months of dread. It seems like almost every Olympic Games is sort of months of just, in this case, years of
every
sort of dread build up.
Every Olympics, and even the WEG in Lexington went through the same things. Mm-hmm.
They
all had it. A lot of the eventing horses have arrived in Rio, and the riders are arriving. I saw some posts of them all getting their uniforms and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Are you getting any early word on what it's like down there?
Yeah, it sounds like everybody's settled in. I was just looking, stalking everyone on
Boyd Martin
Facebook
was posting tons of pictures.
Morning.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it looks like they're, having fun down there. And, I think it's like how many times, even the best riders in the world, how many times do you get to go to the Olympics, and for most people, it's just a one and done, so it sounds like they're taking a moment to not just to absorb the Olympic atmosphere and appreciate that experience and, as well as, obviously they've all got their game faces on as well.
Well, the pictures I was seeing that Boyd was posting, surprisingly, they weren't all with pretty girls. He actually had some pictures of him with a couple of the weightlifting guys. And let me tell you, Boyd's a big guy. I mean, he's tall. He's kind of lanky, but he's tall. He looked like nothing compared to those two.
Yep. Yeah. No matter how strong a horse you're trying to slow down on the cross country course, you're still not going to get guns like that.
There were pictures of them on their horses, so I guess they're getting out to ride already down there.
Yep, so, getting out to ride. Yeah.
And they start now. The schedule for everybody interested is eventing dressage starts on what, Saturday, correct?
Mm-hmm. Saturday. Yep. They'll do their jogs on Friday, Saturday, Sunday's dressage, cross country Monday, and then the show jumping on Tuesday. So
okay, cool.
Yeah.
And now, as far as coverage, of course, NBC Online is going to cover everything, every sport. They're claiming every sport, every race, every everything, right? So that's what they're claiming online. Now, but you guys found out, and I noticed this article on Eventing Nation, that you guys found out that USA Network is going to be covering some of the eventing as well, so on TV.
Yeah, televised live. The cross country and show jumping.
By the way, that they're doing cross country on a work day? Can I file that as a complaint? Because that's on Monday.
Right.
I just want to file a complaint for everybody listening right now.
Yeah, it's not really
Don't
fair.
They know that they should have switched it and had dressage on Monday and Tuesday and done cross country over the weekend?
Mm.
Just saying. But at least if it's on USA, we should be able to Devo it, so, or DVR it. Right. So at least we'll have that.
So, yeah. We've got more ways, I think, to watch the Olympics this time around than we ever have before. And that's because we've gotten so used to being able to live stream all the big events, so I'm glad that's finally, that our Olympic coverage is following that trend.
Now, what they'll do too is on Tuesday, then during the jumping finals, they will actually do two rounds, right? They do a team round where they jump for the team standings, but then they do an individual round where some of them will have to come in and jump twice, right?
Yeah, isn't that weird? Doesn't that seem weird? Always like,
because they're basically keeping two scores along the way too.
I don't know. Yeah, that's one of those weird Olympic quirks.
And then next week after eventing is always first, and then after that will come dressage, and then after that jump. They always end up with jumping is the last thing.
Yeah,
because that's where the big bucks is. That's NBC covers that on NBC. So that's the one event that will actually be covered on NBC on next Friday on the 19th. So Friday or Saturday there. All right, let's do this. Let's talk a little bit about you guys also over at Horse Nation. By the way, if you want to follow all of everything going on, just go to eventingnation.com. They will keep you up to date on the TV coverage, on everything that's happening down in Rio on Eventing Nation. So that's where you want to go a couple times a day to keep track of that. Now, you guys over in Horse Nation were getting into the Olympic spirit too, and you did a Friday poll. Tell us what that was.
Absolutely. Yeah, we did a poll to see, I don't think this is going to happen in the future, but, we can always dream of adding more equestrian disciplines to the Olympics. And we thought it'd be fun, Kristen set up a little poll to see what our readers thought would be the most Olympic-friendly other equestrian discipline. And guess what
Let's go through the options here so people at home jousting, combined driving, endurance, reining, vaulting, polo, which was an Olympic sport all the way up to 1936, horseball, which is just wild and fun, barrel racing, and then the people could put in other suggestions. Now, I will say that I might have skewed the numbers a bit, because I may have voted more than once on multiple different computers. I'm just saying that if a certain thing is winning, I can probably take full responsibility.
The truth comes out. Well, I mean, I think, you get.
So I'm going to say what I voted for. Everybody can probably guess. Can you guess what I voted for?
Probably horseball.
No.
I'm going to say horseball.
No, I do the driving radio show. So I might have voted for combined driving about a dozen times. So what is in the lead at this point?
Combined driving?
Yeah, see, I knew this. Might have had something to do with
it.
I might have encouraged some of the other drivers to vote too, just saying.
yep. But yeah, it's kind of fun to imagine. I think we're going to be doing well just to hang on to the equestrian discipline.
We're not going to be adding combined driving where they all have to bring six horses. I mean, that's not going to happen. Talk about raising costs. It's a problem at WEG every year. What was in second? Right. What's running second? I'm assuming reigning.
Was second raining.
Yeah, that was what I was.
You know what the most likely and most sensible sport to add to the Olympics, if we're looking at that whole cost thing and who can participate, halter classes. You bring one horse.
Yeah, they're exciting.
The horse never has
to they're exciting
stall.
To watch.
Everybody can have one.
That's something everybody halter wants class. To watch.
Mm-hmm.
That sports. Hey, I got to ask you about something else too.
Make that team.
I was going to ask Jenny this. I don't know whether you know anything about what's going on. So we were supposed to have the Pony Club people on Friday and on the show. And then all of a sudden they had to cancel out. And then I started getting all these messages when I mentioned on the show that they had to cancel out because they were having the championships, the East Coast championships at Tryon. And that's the first time they were at Tryon. They usually have it up in Virginia at the Horse Center up there. And they are having it at Tryon in North Carolina. And then I started getting all these messages from parents and stuff saying that it's a mess down here and they don't have cross-country course ready and just nobody was happy. And then I went on and looked at the Chronicle forums and everybody's whining. Do you have any idea what happened down there?
Oh, no. I hadn't heard that there was... I don't know. I assume that it's going to be... They haven't got too much longer before they've got the, you know, to put on the American Eventing Championships next month.
Well, and there was a lot of talk about that, too. Apparently, the course wasn't... I don't know. I was just getting what I was hearing third party, and the they ended up doing like a derby course in a field. And they did not have a full cross-country course ready. So,
really?
Yep. So
it
was a bit of a mess. And, a lot of people were complaining that, you know, these pony clubbers have worked all year to get to championships. And, you know, they should have had a cross-country course. And I don't know. It was just what I was reading third hand. So I didn't know if you knew anything about it, but I certainly did get a few messages about it on Friday.
Wow. That's a juicy tidbit. I'll have to look into it.
Yeah, you have to look into what happened in there.
I know that they're good at throwing things together at the last minute and pulling it off. But we are sort of down to the wire. So,
apparently people were writing that they walked across country courses, but they were too big for the pony clubbers to use. They have it, you know, they were preparing for the AECs, which is what, a three star?
The AECs actually are all levels and they're not actually FEI. There are no FEI. Divisions,
right. But it would
so
be
no,
that level,
no
like a two star level. Yeah.
Well, intermediate, advanced. So they run, you know, just the beginner, novice, or advanced.
And
levels.
Is this the first time they're doing the eventing championships there too, in Tryon?
It is. Yeah, absolutely. That would be the first time that they've had an eventing competition there.
Well, it wasn't Tryon's week either because an eventer had her trailer stolen. From there last week too,
actually,
right?
Actually, a friend of mine.
What happened there?
Adam. Well, she took one of her young event horse to get some show jump school, you know, so show jump mileage in at a jumper show there. And she came out, you know, drove out to the left, you know, parked her trailer, went to get her, you know, her gear and a bale of hay out of it in the morning and it was gone. And probably never to be seen again. She assumes that it probably was stolen for, you know, it will be like, you know, broken down for parts.
Stripped down or painted or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, was hers parked with everybody else's? They usually park them all together.
It was. Huh. Yeah, it was a new lot though. She said it was kind of looked like it had been a little bit hastily put in. But it was completely away from the showground, separate entrance, no gate, no fence, dimly lit. You know, she said she had a kind of a bad feeling leaving it there the night before. But it actually wasn't because she thought it would get stolen. Cause I just never, you know, I never think about trailers getting stolen.
Not at shows. Usually,
not at
shows,
I
mean, in your backyard,
right?
Yes, you hear about that. But
Well,
but, trailer locks, people, they're not that expensive.
They are not. That's the truth. But for sure. But she's, you know, that was kind of a neat story too, because Erica's been a part of the, the eventing community around here in Area 3 for such a long time. And, of course, the community's so good about jumping in and helping a sister out when they're in need. And she got, you know, she, her haven't looked at her GoFundMe since Friday, but you know, she already had something like $5,000 raised, which is just, I mean, when you're talking about replacing a trailer and all the stuff.
Yeah, that's a down payment.
You know, I don't know about you guys, but I use my trailer as, you know, storage for all of my, you know, all of my junk. Junk as in, you know, thousands of dollars worth of accumulated eventing gear, you know, that like who even knows what's in there, but all of her show clothes. And so and then Farmhouse, which is the tack store there in Landrum, you know, kitted her out and got her all, you know, gave her very deeply discounted, you know, show clothes, new wardrobe of show clothes. And so it is neat how everybody always, you know, jumps in.
Well, I feel bad for her having had to go through that. Trailer locks, buy them at any TSC store.
Right.
But you're right. When you're parking at a horse show with all the horse trailers there, you know, but what's the easiest place to steal a horse trailer is at a horse show, because nobody knows who's taking what, right? There's just always people coming in and out. And if you look like you know what you're doing, you know, as long as the owner's not walking up, you could probably get away with it.
Yeah, it was funny. She said the her first thought was, oh, it was probably after I'm just going and I'm just haven't had my coffee yet, or I'm getting senile, which would be those would be my first two thoughts if I was in her shoes. Also, it must have been something. Must be me. I must be going.
Right. I don't remember where I parked it. What was I drinking? Yeah.
But then after that, she thought, well, maybe it was just, you know, some clueless horsey boyfriend who's, you know, rider girlfriend was like, hey,
took the wrong trailer.
Pick up the trailer, you know.
They all look the same.
I would have done that probably. Yeah. They do. All of those like dressing room trailers all look the same. They're all, you know, stainless steel, and it just all looks the same. Aluminum.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's funny. Well, I'm sorry to hear that happened. I really am.
Yeah, but yeah. So I think the jury's out on Tryon, the new equestrian center there. And I will be deeply curious. I'm going to be covering it for Eventing Nation. So, and I haven't been up there yet. And so, but
yeah,
that's
actually not too far from you, right? 4 or 5 hours.
Just maybe 2.5, 3.
Yeah. You're just over the mountain, right?
Yeah. I've spent a lot of time
over the mountain and through the woods, which sounds easier than it is actually.
Yeah.
It is the Smoky Mountains.
Right. That stretch of 40 that's just, you know, in a horse trailer.
Yeah.
Like, just switch
on the
back
edge of the on the edge of the mountain, looking down with your horse trailer.
And from what I hear, it's
ravine on one side.
It still open? Is it that route of stretch of 40 has been open and closed the last 10 years, off and on, to get across the Smoky Mountains?
Off and on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think at the moment it is open. Yeah, but they're always having rock slides.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
It's not fun to drive in a car. I can't imagine a trailer.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Leslie, for joining us. We really appreciate it. And, you know, you have a lot of fans out in Colorado, and we have a lot of listeners out there. Happy Colorado Day, everybody. It's Colorado Day, and all of the Colorado parks and wildlife places are open for free today. So all the state parks and the wildlife areas are open for free today. So, and we're going to Colorado in 2 months, or actually next month. It's August, so we're going next month for vacation, our first time. So we're looking forward to
it.
We're having a listener meetup. We'll have to do an article about that and get all the Horse Nation listeners out, too. We're going to do a listener meetup at the Colorado Horse Park for their event out there on Saturday, Cross Country Day. So I'll let you know, and we'll put a post over on Horse Nation, too. See if any of the fans want to come out and meet up with us. Yep, that'll be fun. That'll be our first time to Colorado Horse Park.
Oh, man. That's so exciting.
Yep.
You know, I just came from Montana for the event at Rebecca Farm.
Oh, how was that real quick?
Oh, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I'd never been to Montana before, but, I mean, you just couldn't ask for a prettier. You know, you've got, like, snow-capped mountains in the background and skies. Just, I'm like, how are the skies really over bigger out here? Why is that? But just in a really cool event, you know, people just drive upwards of 20 hours to get there, if not more. You know,
I hear the parties are good too, but you wouldn't know anything about that.
I wouldn't know anything about that, Glenn.
No.
You know what I'm doing on Saturday night, you know.
So were the parties good?
That's not true. It was a good party.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
They know how to party in Montana.
Yeah, it was super neat. They had a big band and lots of dancing, lots of eventers getting down on the floor and barbecue, and it was on a lake. It was all right. Yeah.
You have a tough job. Thank you, Leslie. Appreciate you being here. Everybody, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be talking more Olympics with Emily from Essequestrian, and we'll be talking jumping tomorrow in the Olympics, and then Jamie will be back here on Wednesday. Thanks again, Leslie, horsenation.com. Let's take us out with a little inspiring music for the day. See you, Leslie.
Bye, USA, USA.